During the golden age of copper mining in Arizona, the mines in Bisbee had a reputation around the world for their spectacular minerals. It was common for miners of the day to help themselves to unusual examples, often sneaking them out in their lunchboxes to later trade with dealers and collectors. Even the bartenders and barbers around Bisbee would accept rare stones as payment. A new exhibit at Flandrau, the UA Science Center, and the Mineral Museum gathers an assortment of some of the most striking and unique specimens from that era. It's called Treasures of the Queen, and our guide will be Mark Candee from the U of A's Mineral Museum.
What you're looking at are copper minerals, the brilliant blue of azurite, the brilliant green of malachite. You're looking at a gold nugget that weighs 20 ounces, and that's just in the first case. The pieces probably weigh anywhere from 50 to 75 pounds each, and they haven't seen the light of day for 100 years. They've literally been in the Freeport-McMoRan collection, in their closet in some cases.
Well, what do we know about their excavation? How were these recovered?
These were pulled out of different pockets in the mines down in Bisbee. The Copper Queen was the forefront of those back at this time, and these are going back to the 1890s. There was one pocket there called the Columbia Pocket. Imagine a pocket that was 60 feet long, 10 feet high. The floor was solid green malachite, the walls were azurite, and the ceiling had aragonite crystals hanging from it like chandeliers. It impressed the miners back then so much that they broke the pieces out very carefully in most cases, and even shipped them to the World's Fair in Chicago, the Columbia Exposition in 1893.
What geologically goes into making the area around Bisbee important or special for copper mining?
The superb thing that happened there was not just a huge deposit of copper, but the fact that it contacted a huge deposit of limestone. All that limestone provided both the chemistry to make these beautiful minerals and the room to make them grow. There were natural caverns all over the place in Bisbee, and there still are, in fact. A lot of those hills are just full of natural caverns that rival Karchner's, or are even better. It's that chemistry that happened also. It was called a supergene region. It wasn't just a sulfide body of copper that came to the surface. It was the sulfide contacting all that limestone and creating this wonderful chemistry. This one particular piece we're looking at is phenomenal. It's almost 2.5 feet long. It weighs about 60 pounds and literally is a stalactite. When you start to examine it, you'll see little blue stalactites all over the piece. So it was growing in a pocket just like a travertine cave would work, except that it was this copper carbonate. These pieces came to us from Freeport-McMoRan, from a group or a family named the Grahams. The Grahams were four generations deep miners and mining engineers and geologists in Bisbee. They were born and bred for this, literally. Dick Graham is the father of the group. He's got two sons named Richard and Doug Graham. Doug Graham runs the Copper Queen mine tours down there right now. His son is a teacher in Sierra Vista, but they are excellent miners. And even in the last few years of Doug Graham's career, when he was working for Phelps Dodge, he was the head geologist. They allowed him to go and collect these minerals. I mean, it was part of his job to go down in each one of those tunnels and caverns and find out where the minerals were and collect them. He was talking about one time walking 6 miles in an underground tunnel to get to where a miner had seen something years ago that he found interesting. Another time he was talking wading in waist-deep water. Well, in the Copper Queen mine, the water there is very cold. It's 40 degrees. He said he was hypothermic by the time he walked 0.5 mile through waist-deep water to get back to where some of these minerals were. The wonderful thing about these minerals, and one of the things that shows how old they are, is the fact that there's still candle wax on them. Well, imagine this was a point in time where they were still mining by candlelight. They were using candle holders. They were stuck all over the mine and in the beams above them. When they'd find a mineral like this, of course, they'd have one on their helmet, and the wax would drip off the candle right onto the mineral. So these white blebs that you're seeing on there are actually candle wax.
Okay, so here we have a giant, beautiful white cluster of crystals that's labeled as calcite from Bisbee. What do we know about this?
Well, that's a wonderful piece because you don't see what's underneath it. Unfortunately, I couldn't display it on a clear base. It literally has a stalactite on the base of it. In effect, it's an upside-down mushroom when it was forming. It was hanging from the ceiling. The water levels were changing, rising and lowering as the climate changed. The water came up and contacted the stalactite and then started to crystallize out from the stalactite. And you get that's why I put the smaller mushrooms in there to give you an idea of how they form. You see the stem, you see the crystal form of it. you see a very flat layer where the water was evaporating and crystallizing the calcite.
Okay, now what exactly is Bisbee ice?
Bisbee ice is an stalactite or stalagmite form, again, that has so much copper in it that it looks brilliant blue, an aquamarine blue. The better the crystal, the clearer the calcium crystals were, the brighter the blue is. And imagine, again, something like that hanging from the ceiling. In this case, it looks like a large paper wasp nest. But it was literally just hanging from the ceiling from that little stalactite you see on the top.
Wouldn't these presumably, in some cases, the crystals would grow and it would just be like ripe fruit? It would eventually just break off and
fall
to the ground?
Well, in some cases, it did that type of thing. It would break to the floor. In fact, in the one photograph, you'll see that the floor is covered with what looks like more minerals that got even more covered with the stuff that was dripping from the ceiling. You had both the stalagmite and the stalactite formation happening there.
Here we have some minerals that are a little duller in color. We have more of the familiar copper and some dark green malachite going on in here. What makes this display special?
The unique thing that you're seeing in here are some of the best smaller minerals that ever came out of Bisbee. The copper that you see in the back here that looks like a bunch of quill pens stuck into a solid piece of copper is probably one of the best display pieces in the world from Bisbee. Those are perfect spinel twin crystals of copper sticking up out of the surface. And when it gets that aesthetic, when it gets that appealing, everybody knows about it and they say, okay, that's the best one. It's supply and demand. It's become the Picasso or the Rembrandt of the group, and the price just goes up and up from there.
So what kind of a place was Bisbee around this era in the early 1900s?
Well, Bisbee had enough money coming out of the ground and enough people working at a very nice high salary that they describe it as the San Francisco of the Southwest. Beautiful buildings built up the side of the hills. Brewery Gulch was a place where all the pubs and bars existed. There were 97 of them at one time. So it was a big happening place. We have a dress on display, a wedding dress from 1881 that was probably shipped from Paris. The dress is so heavy with brocade silk, it weighs 40 pounds. Being a miner, if you notice the pictures that are here, there wasn't a heavy set miner. These guys were skinny as rails because they were working very, very hard. But the amount of industry and technology that was going on in this period of time, imagine in the Southwest, Bisbee was the biggest city. Phoenix was nowhere near the size. Tucson was nowhere near the size as Bisbee. It was a happening place.
The exhibit is called Treasures of the Queen, and it runs through the end of August at Flandrau, the UA Science Center, and the Mineral Museum. We have a link for more information, along with pictures of some of the minerals on display. They're on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.